Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, May 15th, 2018, and you are listening to KBOO Portland, Community, Diversity, Sanctuary, Solidarity, and what we're going to be talking about today, Singularity. We're at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM. Just look for the enormous big button where you can become a member right now. If you're not a member right now, consider going to that the KBOO website, kboo.fm, and you will find it right there. Membership could not be easier, and it could not be more crucial right now. Weather for today around Cascadia, today cloudy, and then clearing up a little bit in the afternoon, highs around 73 tonight. We could get a bit of drizzle and look for temperatures, lows around 57 for tomorrow, patchy drizzle early on, and could get a shower too in the afternoon. Highs around 68 for tomorrow night. Bit damp and low around 55. That said, we're moving right along. I do need to mention 50 people, 50 Palestinians dead, 50 stories gone. Stories. That's 50 worlds vanished. In a flash, unarmed civilians who have been camping for 6 weeks. All they want is the world to recognize that this is their land, where their ancestors. There are graves here for people going back for generation upon generation, hundreds and hundreds of years. There are olive groves. So there were olive groves until the Israelis bulldoze them. There are roads that are restricted. Palestinians can't travel on them. The roads they are allowed to travel on, there are checkpoints. And now there is the removal of all chance of peace by citing the so-called capital of Israel in Jerusalem is such an unspeakable offense, and then to celebrate that on Nakba, the day, perhaps the most awful day in Palestinian history. And do remember that Palestinian history does not go back just to a few decades ago. It stretches back centuries upon centuries. So the violence against Palestinians is entirely brought by Israel there. If you think that this is simply my opinion, I would argue that from the perspective of the rest of the world outside of the United States and beyond U.S. Media, that is the consensus, and evidence backs it up that the murder, the point-blank murder, 50 peaceful protesters. They have no guns. They have no. All of this is more of Netanyahu's the transparent lie that Netanyahu's perpetrated. And the only ones who believe it, of course, are the Americans. That said, moving right along, we're going to be speaking with George Sexton. He's the conservation director with the Klamath Siskiyou Wildlands Center. What I want to ask about is, are we heading for a wildlands singularity? I wonder about this all the time. As the environment collapses, it will become obvious eventually to the general populist. When it does, there will be massive panic. There will already have been disasters, one upon another, violent storms, droughts, flooding, the rise of coastal waters that consume cities. Already in Miami, there's water floods up through drains across the city. There are other manifestations of climate collapse everywhere we turn. They're becoming more and more obvious. When people really, really get an eyeful of this, there will be panic. There will be demands for the government to immediately do something about it. And what the race is on right now, developing artificial intelligence and creating a market, creating trust, public trust for AI, so that when complete climate collapse hits us, they will have constructed an alternative story, through AI. This is why pattern recognition is so critical right now, for people to go and see the Chetco River, go and see the trees that are destined to be cut. Go and see it for yourself. Go witness it so that you will be able to see through pattern recognition what is real and what is false, what we're really losing and what we are being led to believe. George, good morning. Thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure. Good morning.
I want to talk about what this timber sale means, what we're losing, and why it's so important to recognize patterns, to see what is real. And what we the idea of thinning a forest. Forests, I've said this 1,000 times to people, a managed forest is a tree farm. The best thing that can be done for our forest is to get out, just leave. No logging, no camping, no nothing is the only way to save them. Can you talk a bit about this? Please, if I'm wrong, tell me.
I'm not quite sure what the question is. You're saying, do I believe that there's a place for management on public lands forests?
Yeah, I do, because as I perceive it, a true forest, a true wildland, does not require management, since forests have managed themselves quite well for many millennia, and it is only the encroachment, human encroachment, that has led to these problems. Can you tell us what management of a forest really is intended to achieve?
Well, that's a very difficult question. The forests that are in the proposed Chetco Bar post-fire salvage logging timber sale are primarily mixed conifer forests in southern Oregon's Mediterranean climate. And so the prior to Forest Service management, there was a fire regime that would come through these forests about every 15 to 20 years. And so the forests were evolved with and dependent on fire being part of the ecosystem that provided a number of ecosystem services, including sort of a natural thinning and an increase in the diversity of plant life in the area. Since the Forest Service has been managing public lands, they've pursued the sort of the Smokey the Bear policy of fire suppression and fire exclusion, which many scientists believe has altered the density and species composition, particularly of dry forest types. And then there are also scientists who are studying the emerging effects of climate change on all different types of forests, including the forests of the Klamath Siskiyous, and often their results suggest that drying and length of the forests and then lengthening of the fire seasons are some effects of climate change that should be expected in the area. And so given those two realities, a lot of ecologists don't believe that the current conditions in the forest replicate what would be there had there not been fire exclusion and the beginnings of the impacts of a warming climate. So there, those are sort of the baseline ecological effects of where we're at. And then there have been a great number of impacts from previous logging, which has, again, made denser stands through the conversion of old-growth forests into timber plantations and logging road construction. So there's a lot of variables there. What the Forest Service is proposing in the Chetco Bar timber sale is about 4,000 acres of post-fire logging. And about half of that would be in these previously managed, previously logged second growth stands. And about half of that 4,000 acres would be in never before logged post-fire old growth stands. Does that sort of help set
absolutely.
The table?
Yeah, absolutely. So the timber sale, that is help. The timber sale, though, there is problematic. It threatens the watersheds and a number of, I believe, roads, additional roads would be constructed. How will this affect the watersheds and the shape, the future shape of this forest? Is it, that would be of concern, I would hope, I would imagine.
Oh, definitely. The Chetco River is one of the most magnificent watersheds that I've ever been to. Certainly one of the most biologically and aquatic important watersheds in the lower 48. The entire Fifth Field Chetco watershed is undammed all the way from, you know, its sources in the mountains in the Kalmiopsis Wilderness to the Pacific Ocean. And it's long been Southern Oregon's stronghold for steelhead and coho runs, coho salmon, which are now federally listed under the Endangered Species Act. Once you see the Chetco River, it's really an unforgettable sight. It's got sort of a turquoise blue waters where you can see a pebble in a, you know, in a swimming hole, you know, 50 feet down. It's that clear of a watershed, and the waters are both clear and cold, which is fantastic if you're a salmon that relies on clear, cold water. So last summer, in the summer of 2017, we had a large wildfire event. It was a lightning-caused fire that the Forest Service initially tried to suppress. But the fire got away from them with an interesting weather event called the Chetco effect, which is when warm, high-pressure winds in the mountains rush down that Chetco River Canyon towards the lower pressure of the Pacific Ocean. And that high wind combined with the warm temperatures and the steep slopes made for a very large fire run. With some high severity impacts to the forests. Now, the Forest Service is looking at several mechanisms for post-fire management of those stands that burned. And as you mentioned, one of the things that they're looking at is about 14 miles of new road construction that would be in aid of the 4,000 acres of post-fire logging that they want to do. Now, most of that logging would be clear-cut logging, and the roads would also involve construction of log landings. So the combination of the road construction, the clear-cutting, and the log landing establishment, that sort of cumulative impact on the watershed is of great concern because of the impacts that can have on those two variables that I was talking about, the cold water and the clarity of the water, you know. So we're hoping to work with the Forest Service to get them to focus more on restoration and less on the post-fire logging and road construction.
So we in the last, we just have we're pretty much out of time. Can you tell listeners that there is a public comment period, which most people did not we're not aware of, but it is just winding up. It's incredibly easy to do. Go to the Klamath Siskiyou Wildland Center website, and it's very, very easy. There's nothing to it. Can you talk about that for just the last few seconds that we have here?
Of course. Yeah, these are public lands, and it's a public planning process. And you're right. If you go to the kswild.org website, you can check out a sample letter and alter it so that it reflects your voice, and send them in and be a voice for the watershed and forest values of the Chetco River.
And there was a rather startling event. I heard a brief news mention of this on another radio station, a large... a national affiliate, and the deadline, they said as part of this news piece, was Wednesday. But when I, and of course I called, and it, sure enough, it's not. You better get those comments in right now, would be what I learned.
It's best if you can submit them today or tomorrow, so that you're within that commenting period. But there's nothing to stop you from at any point voicing your opinions and your concerns about public lands management to the Forest Service. So even if you can't get something in today or tomorrow, don't let that stop you from voicing your opinion and being involved in public lands management and planning.
And if you haven't seen the water, if you haven't seen this river, it is unimaginably beautiful. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, May 15th, 2018. Engineering for us today, Kevin Kurt, Devin Taylor, Derek Hooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.